This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Will Congress pull the transportation bill into the garage in time?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The end of this week marks the end of June, which marks the end of the fiscal year for many companies. It also marks the end of federal funding for highway construction and other transportation projects. Unless, of course, lawmakers in Washington can agree on an extension of the transportation bill. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on what's at stake.
Congress could use some cheerleading this week.
Give me a C!
C!
Give me an O!
O!
Why? Well, it's got a lot of work to do. Pete Ruan heads the American Road and Transportation Builders Association.
There would be suspension of contracts throughout the 50 states, which would lead to layoffs of workers.
He doesn't think it'll come to that. Neither does Robert Puentes from the Brookings Institution.
It would truly be disastrous for the program to simply just expire.
One answer might be a short-term extension, which Puente says could be tough on local governments.
These are not short-term kind of projects. They take years, they take months, and there's construction seasons that happen. So there is a level of predictability that states and cities and metropolitan areas genuinely need.
Congress could also pass a multi-year plan, and there are rumors that a deal is close. One hang-up, House Republicans want approval of the contentious Keystone XL oil pipeline as part of the legislation. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
The tiny Mediterranean island nation of Cyprus is formally asking for a bailout from Europe. The country says it needs more than $10 billion from its Eurozone partners to avoid default. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard from the slightly larger island known as England. Stephen, it seems like it'd be hard to say Cyprus is too big to fail. I mean, it's not exactly Spain or Italy.
No, that's right. Not the biggest domino in the pack. As you say, it is a tiny island in the East Mediterranean, population about 1 million, with an economy smaller than that of Vermont. But Cyprus is important. It is, of course, a member of the Eurozone, and it has geopolitical importance too. Here's Stephen Lewis of Monument Securities.
Well, Cyprus occupies a strategic position in the Mediterranean. It's not very far from Syria. British have used it as a base for more than a century. In those military terms, it has enormous value.
Which is probably why the Russians have already lent Cyprus more than $3 billion, and the Chinese are reported to be interested in lending the money too. And that's why the Eurozone will probably bail out Cyprus pretty quick to keep those other two countries at bay.
Well, Stephen, this comes on the heels of the Spanish formal bailout request yesterday. It does seem like the pace of bailouts is quickening.
Yes, the crisis is certainly spreading, and this is hugely embarrassing for the Eurozone, this bailout request, because this week we had the latest make-or-break summit to resolve the debt crisis, and Cyprus, as it happens, takes over the revolving presidency of the European Union next week, as a leading Cypriot politician put it, a tragic coincidence.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.5% in Hong Kong, down right now across Europe, just by a fraction of a percent. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that its parent company, News Corporation, is considering splitting into one company for film and television and another for publishing. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 138 points to close at 12,502.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Today, a committee of university presidents is expected to give college football fans something they've always wanted, a true football playoff resulting in one national champion. St. Louis Public Radio's Adam Allington reports.
Call it a college football Final Four. Under a plan approved by BCS commissioners last week, the four best teams would play a semifinal within the existing BCS bowl games. The winners would then square off for the national championship. John Steinbrecher is the commissioner of the Mid-America Athletic Conference. He says the new system, set to kick off in 2014, is more fair because it gives two extra teams a shot at a national championship. And it would do it, he says, without undercutting the current bowl structure.
We think it allows us to do that. So we're going to be able to grow the postseason or grow that national championship playoff a little bit, yet at the same time preserve some of the things about the regular season that we think are very important.
And by important, he means insanely valuable.
More money than you can shake a stick at plus the stick.
Michael McCambridge is the author of the ESPN College Football Encyclopedia.
The conservative estimates are that a true national championship playoff could generate anywhere between 3 to 5 times of what the current BCS package makes.
Early numbers being tossed around claim a football playoff could generate nearly $500 million for the NCAA. But the plan's not without its critics. Nebraska Chancellor Harvey Perlman chairs the BCS Presidential Oversight Committee, which has to approve the new system.
I think if the Big Ten presidents were to vote today, we would vote for the status quo. We think it best serves college football. We think it best protects our student athletes.
As a member of the Big Ten Conference, Perlman's teams risk being somewhat marginalized by the likes of the Southeast Conference, home to the last 6 BCS football champions. On top of that, the complicated task of revenue distribution has yet to be hammered out. But at this point, it seems clear that the money on the table will be more than enough to buy a little intercollegiate compromise. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, the investment bank Morgan Stanley has decided to allow its 18,000 financial advisors to access Twitter. But many of the tweets will be pre-written by the bank. The Atlantic Wire trolled the tweets of some of the few Morgan Stanley employees who are already allowed on Twitter and found gems like this one, quote, "Heading to Morgan Stanley Smith Barney's HQ as part of my service on our firm's diversity committee, I'm proud of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney's great work on diversity. Way to go, Morgan Stanley Smith Barney." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.